Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another live devotional in the Book of Revelation. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I hope your day is off to a good start. And I hope you are ready to dig in to the Book of Revelation again together this morning. We are going to be looking at one of the most powerful, stirring, encouraging visions of Christ found anywhere in Scripture. It is John's vision of Jesus in his glory and authority and majesty that he sees on the island of Patmos. Remember, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so right at the very beginning in chapter 1, the first thing that John sees in his visions is Jesus himself. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this portion of your word, which has been much debated and discussed, and I'm afraid, Father, has not been used as you intended it for your church, for our encouragement, our strengthening, our edification, our equipping for the conflict and our refreshment in Christ. So we pray, Father, that you would do that work by your Holy Spirit in our hearts today to show us Jesus, to strengthen our faith in Jesus, to strengthen our faithfulness to Jesus in the midst of a world of conflict as we believe and know and rest in his power and wisdom and truth and sovereign reign. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Revelation 1, verses 9 through 20. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like white wool like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Amen. This is God's holy word to us. John identifies himself. This was last on Monday. We saw that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to his servant John. And here he says, I, John. And notice how he identifies himself, though. He is the last living apostle. So he could very easily say, I, John, the last living apostle, sent on the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, with a sort of commanding tone of superiority. But that's not how he identifies himself. He says, I, John, your brother and partner. Brother and partner in three things that are in Jesus. In the tribulation, well, that means that John, in Revelation, in the first century AD, as he was writing this book, says, I'm your brother and partner in the tribulation. That should be a hint to us that the tribulation is not something that's far off in the distant future as some seven-year period of time before Jesus comes again, but is rather the experience of the church throughout the church age while we live as servants of Jesus Christ in a world that is in rebellion against him. The tribulation and the kingdom. We're in tribulation in this world because we belong to another kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that we live in tribulation and that we live in a heavenly kingdom means we need this third thing, and that is patient endurance, that are in Jesus. All of these three things are in Jesus. We're in tribulation in this world because we're in Jesus. We're in the kingdom of God because we're in Jesus. And we are in patient endurance because we are in Jesus. We find that patient endurance in Jesus. These three things are really important because this is really the main theme of Revelation. And this is really what this book is all about and why it's given to us. It's given to us because as long as we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God made manifest on earth, ambassadors of Christ to a hostile world, we will live in the reality of tribulation and kingdom, and we will need patient endurance. So the book of Revelation was given to give us patient endurance in Jesus so that we can live in tribulation and in the kingdom. So where was John? He was on the island called Patmos. Why was he there? He was there on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He was being persecuted for his faith. He was put in exile. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is so important because John being in the Spirit means he is in a prophetic frame. He is getting glimpses into spiritual heavenly realities. And it is on the Lord's day. What is the Lord's day? It is the first day of the week. It is the day of resurrection. And it has been, since the earliest days, the day that the church has gathered in the morning on the Lord's day to worship the risen Jesus. Because that's when Jesus appeared to his disciples the first time. That's when Jesus appeared to his disciples the second time with Thomas, so-called doubting Thomas. And so the resurrection appearances of Jesus were on the Lord's Day. The resurrection of Jesus was on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And that's why we worship and we rest in Jesus on the Lord's Day. And I heard behind me a voice like a trumpet. You ever heard a voice like a trumpet? No, you haven't. But that would be pretty powerful to hear a voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Now, these are real historical churches. They were all in Asia Minor, or what's today Turkey. They were all in a semicircle, if you look it up in a map. They're all on the same postal route. However, there's more than seven churches in that same region, and even on that same postal route. The church of Colossae, for example, is not included here. So seven is a historical reality, and these are real historical churches, but seven in the book of Revelation is always significant, and it means divine completion. And that means that these seven churches, in addition to being historic churches, also stand for all the churches of God throughout the world, throughout the church age. So they are both actual historic churches. And when we get to the letters in chapters 2 and 3, we're going to see that they each get a letter to them that addresses their specific victories and defeats, sins and righteousness and situation. And that is specific to those churches. But those churches become emblematic of all churches throughout all time. So John turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. I mean, if you heard behind you a voice sounding like a trumpet, you would turn around and want to see who that was too. Who in the world could speak with such authority? See, trumpets are instruments of command and authority, instruments of summons, summons to battle, summons to worship. Those are the two most common ways that trumpets will be associated. They are authority and they are summons, summons to battle, summons to worship. So he turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning he saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. One like a son of man. Well, to unpack that, we need to jump back to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where Daniel has a vision in the night. He's seen these kingdoms represented by these beasts, and during the time of the fourth beast, which represents the Roman Empire, the Ancient of Days comes and takes his throne, showing that he's the ruler over all these kingdoms. And then, during that time, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So when John sees one who is like a son of man, he is seeing Jesus as kingly and as the anointed and appointed king whose kingdom will know no end. But then this king is actually dressed like a high priest. He's clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. Those are priestly garments he's wearing as a high priest. The hairs of his head were white like wool. That is wisdom. That is ancient life. In Micah 5:2, when we read about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, Micah says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are too small to be counted among the tribes of Judah, from you will come forth for me one who will be a ruler over my people, whose coming forth is from of old, even from ancient times." So Jesus is ancient, like the Ancient of Days, but he is also ever new and young and vital. He has great wisdom. His eyes are like a flame of fire. He has great insight, penetrating insight to see the truth and to judge the truth. His feet are like burnished bronze. This is associated with deity and with worship. Burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. That's authority and power. In his right hand, he held 7 stars. We'll see what those mean in a minute. And from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So he speaks with a penetrating, cutting, and decisive authority. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. That's glory. So here is a king who is also the high priest, who has wisdom, who has penetrating insight, who has deity, who has authority, who has angelic power, who has speaks with a decisive, penetrating authority, and who is glorious in his strength. Now, this is actually not the first place in Scripture where we have this kind of vision of Jesus. It's the most clear that it is Jesus, but you know, this one shows up also in Daniel. We jumped to Daniel 7. Let's jump quickly to Daniel 10, because this one shows up to Daniel in another time in his life. He says it was the 24th day of the first month, and he was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist, the same priestly garments, the great high priest. His body was like beryl, that's kind of like this deity, burnished bronze, very glorious, shining. His face was like the appearance of lightning, like the sun in its full strength, like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. The sound of his words like the sound of a multitude, like the roar of many waters. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell on them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. What's interesting is Daniel's response to this great and glorious vision of Christ, who was the Son of Man from chapter 7, is now the great high priest and glorious one to be worshipped and adored, is here in Daniel 10. His response is the same as John's response. Because how does John respond when he sees Jesus? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. You see, we have this picture of Jesus that we've gotten from children's storybook Bibles and from flannel graph when we were kids in Sunday school, or from little animated cartoon movies that we may have seen of Jesus, or even some of the other movie versions. And we always picture Jesus in his incarnation while he was on earth as sort of gentle and lowly and meek and mild and kind and tender and a little bit weak and a little bit soft, right? And it's nice. I mean, you kind of feel sorry for him, but that is not Jesus today. The Jesus that the church needs to know and worship and see by faith and adore with love is the Jesus who reigns in absolute power and authority, who has wisdom and might and insight and authority and power. So much so that if we were to see him, we too would fall at his feet as though dead. We need to know that that's Jesus. And we need to hear what Jesus says here. Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. If you've ever lost a loved one in the Lord, verse 18 here is so powerful. Jesus died, but he's alive forevermore as the living one who, because he conquered death, because he overthrew death, he has the keys of death and Hades. He is in command of death and the afterlife. He is the Lord of everything in this life as well as in the life to come. So write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. And then he gives us the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And that tells us a couple of things. One is that churches have angelic powers defending them and protecting them. I do think that when he says angels here, he means angels. Part of what we'll see in Revelation is that Revelation is connecting our earthly realities to the transcendent heavenly realities. And one of those links is that churches have angels who protect and who serve them. And then Jesus is in the midst of the seven churches. Jesus is in the midst of his church. His angelic powers protect the church, but he himself is in our midst. There's no better reason to go to church and be part of a church and be committed to a church than to know that that's where Jesus is, that's where he dwells. And we'll see these seven lampstands. The lampstands are actually a picture of the Holy Spirit's influence and work. So that's where Jesus is, that's where the Holy Spirit is, and that's where the angels have been assigned to protect and to serve. And so if we love Jesus, we want to be closer to Jesus, and we want more of Jesus' power and presence in our lives, we need to do what John did. Be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Be where Jesus is. Now, John was in exile. He had to be by himself. But he saw this vision that Jesus is with his church. by his Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. I find that vision tremendously encouraging. There's no power in this world that is stronger than Jesus. There's no wisdom in this world that's wiser than Jesus. He has the perfect penetrating insight to see everything the way that it is, and the authority to speak with that cutting word that declares and that accomplishes what it declares. He is the all-glorious one, and he is our king to defend and protect us. He is our high priest to intercede for us, and he is with us as the church to guide and protect and teach and bless. That's what we need if we're going to have patient endurance in the midst of the tribulation as faithful citizens of his kingdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus, our glorious and faithful King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our great high priest who never stops praying for us, the one who is present among us when we gather for worship by his Spirit to guide us and teach us and correct us and meet with us and build us up. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray that you would strengthen our faith in Jesus, our love for Jesus, our devotion to Jesus in everything in life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to turn to chapter 2 on Friday and begin looking at the letters to the seven churches. I hope you can join us then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.